Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with my co-host Tim Henney. Well, Melinda Rolstad is our next guest, and she is an expert in concussion and traumatic brain injury. And we need that sort of expert in this town because, unfortunately, many of the things we love to do, like skiing and mountain biking, can end up in a way that we least expect, and with us suffering concussion or TBI, traumatic brain injury. Melinda is a critical element of Think Head First, which has been treating concussion and brain injury in the community for a long time. She joins us today to talk about a whole body approach to prevention and to healing post-injury. Melinda, welcome to The Mountain Life. Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so you know, it's interesting. We're just speaking with Chris Crawley about back pain, and their book is A Whole Body Approach. And that's exactly what you have wanted to talk about, is this whole body approach to, it goes into healing. But talk a little bit about prevention in the first place.
Well, I think how this all came about, I mean, we basically have diverged a little bit. We obviously are still continuing to take care of concussion and the aspects that are important about that. But in the process of working with a lot of these patients, we realized that there was so much that tied into just general health and taking care of our brain as a whole. What we're educating people on to recover from concussion is very much what we should be educating them on to take care of their brains prior to an injury. And I tend to always go back to my background in physiology and think about stress and stressing a system. There's good stress and there's bad stress. And good stress, we stress a system, we recover from that stress, and we actually get better at handling that particular stress. But if we chronically stress a system, we overstress that system, and then it doesn't work so well. And that's overtraining in the training concept. But you can do the same kind of thing when you think about stress in our bodies as a whole. And we talk about stress and manage our stress. But what exactly does that mean? And I think people, when I talk to people about their injury, I talk to them about the fact of what's their stress level in their life. And if their stress level is really high and they're operating on that edge, then they're probably going to be a more prolonged recovery because it's harder for us to pull back and manage that stress. So stress plays a critical role in all sorts of aspects of health, obviously, but particularly with our brains.
So are you saying that if we don't have optimal brain health going into an accident where we hit our head, do we have a higher propensity for having concussion, or is it just having to do with recovery if you do get a concussion, sort of your brain health going into it?
Well, interestingly, I was at a conference earlier this year, and we were talking about causes for more prolonged recoveries and what those causes were. And this is where this whole concept of stress and resilience came out. And so you're talking about people that maybe going into the injury don't have as much resilience. And those individuals possibly are going to be the ones that are going to be more difficult in the recovery process. And why is it that they don't have that resilience? And then I started thinking about it in terms of overall body health. And resilience has to do with our immune system. Yeah. And if our immune system is suppressed, i.e., chronic stress. I mean, and again, going back to stress, it's not just how we think of stress when we think of when you hear the word stress, but more physical stress, cognitive stressors, you know, mental, social, emotional stressors. All of those things play into our overall load to our system. And basically, our system, how we're managing each of those areas is really what's going to result in what our underlying resilience is and where our reserves are. And if our reserves, our metabolic reserves, are completely depleted, then our resilience is also lower. And therefore, we're not going to be able to respond to a new stressor, i.e. an injury, as easily for the recovery process. So that's how I think of it. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense. You're making these connections and associations that are outside the realm of what you would think, and I think was sort of the common practice looking in the past, which was very scientific and data-driven. And, you know, you have a brain injury and we do a CAT scan and we figure out how to fix that. But all these association and connections that you're making lead to something very different or not very different. It's kind of what's at the fundamental and foundational level. And I just want to read something on the back of your pamphlet. It says, consistent practice of nurturing awareness to the present moment without judgment increases the brain density by developing neural pathways in our brains that support focus and ability to regulate emotions and decrease negative thoughts. And that's this chronic stress that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Through mindfulness.
Right.
And so, that's a long way of getting to my question, which those associations lead me to think about dementia and people not necessarily who are resilient and trying to recover from an incident or an accident or a concussion or a brain injury, but over time are experiencing chronic stress that may be connected to some traumatic event that they're bearing with them. And by the time they reach their whatever point it is in life, 80s, late 70s, 90s, they can't handle it anymore.
That's
and they
correct.
Are no longer resilient because their immune system has been depleted all this time.
Right. Essentially, that's exactly right. And that's, I mean, the thing that's interesting is we're seeing the research now in this. I mean, there's a lot of research on meditation and mindfulness and how it can improve our health overall, our brain health as well, and our brain to work better and hopefully stave off dementia and Alzheimer's. And there's research coming out now tying this all to our gut, you know, the gut-brain connection, and the fact that if we are not feeding our gut appropriately and taking care of our gut, then it's definitely going to transfer into the health of our brain. And so we're starting to see the ties of all of this coming together and looking at, okay, we know all this is connected. I mean, it's all connected with regard to the person that you were just talking to on the back. I mean, it's all connected, but then how do we put these pieces together? And how do we put the pieces together in a simple way that people can actually digest and execute in their daily lives? Because it becomes overwhelming. And when it's overwhelming, the stress goes up, and then they're not able to actually handle that, and it actually makes things worse. So you have to put it together or package it in a way that people can handle it.
Well, and that packaging, it brings to mind that I know a lot of your patients are young people, right? Mm-hmm. Because those are the people doing a lot of crazy sports. And, of course, as you know, as we age too, you know, we get a little klutzier at those crazy sports. So, but how do you go about, you know, impressing this whole body thing on young people? And is it easier or more difficult than on, you know, adults?
I think my focus with any person that I see has to do with how to improve their health overall. And obviously, when I'm working with a lot of athletes, I talk about the fact that all of these factors will help them be a better athlete ultimately. And therefore, if they pay attention to these details, it's going to make their body and their brain function better, more efficiently, which actually is going to make them a better athlete in the long run. So that's where I put my focus. And I try to encourage them to understand and learn about their bodies at their ages, because it actually will help them in the long run. It's challenging, but I have adults as well. On the other side of it, that you, that basically you're trying to educate them on this and how to prioritize in their life and decide that their health is a priority and this injury is a priority. And if they really want to recover from this, they need to pay attention to these aspects. So it's not just young kids. I mean, we obviously are seeing a range, but in this community, we have quite a few, you know, older adults that are very active and basically end up in our clinic concerned about the working of their brain because they had multiple injuries. And what can I do now to maximize my brain And that's when we talk about how to balance all of these aspects and where to prioritize their efforts based on their background and what their issues are.
That movie Head Games has stuck with me for the last 5 years or whatever it's been since it came out. But they did all of those post-mortem, you know, autopsies on brains at Boston University. And very often they only saw it would be someone who never thought they had a single concussion. And then they found out that indeed they had many, many concussions. They might have been slight, but is there any way to recover from that? Like you say, these people that say, well, I think I've had a few concussions.
I think, you know, I go back to, and actually just as an aside, there was a study that came out in Canada this last year that basically looked at brains of a population that just came through the ER postmortem to look for CTE, you know, and see. And 35% of those brains with no history of contact sports had evidence of CTE. So I think you can't, I mean, this is one of the things that they're actually trying to look at because the media has gone after CTE and collision sports. And I think what's going on in Boston, you know, they're looking at just postmortem of those athletes, but we need to be looking at the population as a whole to be able to know, is CTE just in that population? Because it obviously from this other study showed up in other people that had never played collision sports.
CTE, so. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yeah.
And describe what that is.
It's basically a change in the tissue of dead cells that they're finding in the brain tissue. Postmortem, it can't be identified prior to death at this point. They're working on that. But.
And these, you've talked about research and studies that are coming out. And I'm really interested in that because we can tell a compelling narrative that seems to make sense. You look at somebody and you say, gee, how did this person get into their late 80s and they're vibrant and they're alert and they're physically fit? And what makes sense about that? And so you sort of put, well, they exercised and, you know, they were engaged with friends until late in life and they ate well. So you can build this really compelling narrative, but without kind of peer-reviewed studies to back all that up and fill in the blanks, you're just telling a compelling narrative, which I think we've sort of been doing for a while without kind of the traction of the data. Is that changing today?
What's hard, even for me, you know, there are so many studies being published, and it's so hard to weed through exactly how each study is done to figure out, okay, is this, I mean, the conclusions that they're drawing, does that make sense? And, I mean, for the average population to weed through all that,
right,
it's unbelievable. And then all you see are these headlines. And so it's very difficult to delineate, even for somebody like me who's reading all these things all the time. But I think that there are so many variables, so many variables. I mean, there's, you know, look at the evolution of our society as a whole. Look at the evolution of how we, our foods are created and what has gone into our foods and the links that they're tying to disease processes from how our foods have evolved. I mean, what about toxin exposure? I mean, again, this is evolution of society as a whole. There are so many factors, and you can't go back. We have to go forward, and we have to understand, okay, how do we best balance these things to support our health? And what, you know, what may trigger my health and or a disease process in mine is going to be different from yours. And it could be just the culmination of what has happened in your life up to this point. So, and one particular factor that tips the scales.
Right.
But I'm going to go back to that balance, that balance of the overall stress system, the resilience, and the metabolic reserve. And if we work, all of us, you know, each of us, what is that balance in me? What is that balance in you? And how do we find that? Because that's what's really important. And if you can get to that balance point, your body is actually going to function better and be less at risk for that tipping point that could cause a disease process. because your immune system will fight it off.
Well, there, you know, you're sort of preaching to the choir, I think, with the audience that is listening to the Mountain Life Show in Park City, which is an anomaly within greater Utah and maybe society in general. But, you know, you're talking about a convergence of positions, the scientific and then the compelling narrative, and they're coming together, and that evolution that you talked about of society and where we've come from, where we're going. So it's very clear to see these two positions merging. Have we merged yet, or are we, you know, is it 10 years from now that everybody's going to be like, wow, drinking 4 sodas a day is probably not the best thing for my health? And yet, you know, they continually get inundated with the marketing and the push of, you know, here's great soda, it tastes good, keeps you whatever it does.
Well, and then you have the government that's trying to regulate it all. So at any rate, they're trying to regulate it for your health, but then they're also regulating things that are maybe not so good for your health. So I think it's just evolution. I'm not going to say that it's all going to come together, because I think there's going to be other factors that come into play in this timeline. And even when we live in a fairly healthy environment, there are issues with overdoing it in terms of exercise and that kind of thing. It's overstressed.
Yeah.
And so even though we have people in this environment that are, you know, they exercise, they meditate, they do all these things, they still, because their lives are going at what I call full bore, you know, they don't know how to stop and actually be mindful and be present. And that is actually probably the biggest issue in an environment like ours, because that's where people really struggle. I find myself challenged by that all the time as well. But we need to learn how to do that and really understand what that means so that our bodies do recover. So
I'm sure you hear little anecdotes all the time, and so I'm going to tell you one more. And I just want to illustrate that there's this world out there that is starting to really recognize CTE and traumatic brain injury. And it popped up on Facebook, an obituary of someone from my hometown who was my younger sister's age. And the obituary said, died from the effects of CTE. And what I took that to mean, I surmised that it was a suicide. And I'm not really sure at this point, but I went back and asked my sister, you know, did he play football? Well, yeah, he played football. Did he play in college? Did he play in the NFL? No, he just played in high school. And, you know, and it goes back to what you were speaking about earlier about resilience and maybe the other stressors in this person's brain that made it so he wasn't resilient and he got a couple knocks on the head. And it also goes back to what you were saying about the 35% in the Canadian emergency room post-mortem that they found had effects of CTE.
Right.
And you can only guess, but why? But, you know, you're kind of making the case for taking the guesswork out of it.
Well, I think that you can't necessarily say that that was the cause.
Right.
Okay. And I think that that's misleading, because then people think, oh my gosh, do I have CTE? And, you know, I think there are a lot of factors that, you know, could have gone into why that happened. And again, it goes back to, where were the metabolic reserves? Where was the resilience? What was his life leading into that point? And what was the tipping scale? I think, you know, people with head injuries, I mean, we'd never finished your comment on the multiple subconcussive blows that you were mentioning, and actually those are probably more concerning because people don't recognize those and they don't acknowledge that those can be additive. And you need to pay attention, recognize those, and appropriately manage those. And I think that those are probably more concerning. So this is where they're actually looking at some of these, you know, the football players that maybe have played since they were in youth football all the way through college or professional. What is the volume of hitting over that lifetime? And is that possibly what has caused that? But then you look at NFL players that are retired in their 50s and have absolutely no problem and no incidence of dementia that's any greater than people that hadn't played football. So, you know, again, so it's very, yeah, I think I go back to, you know, for concussion, number one, yes, we need to recognize it. Yes, we need to be educated about it. We need to educate our kids, educate our parents, and make sure that they recognize signs and symptoms, and then remove the athlete or remove the person from any risk of possible re-injury until you can fully evaluate it, and then reevaluate by somebody who knows what they're doing and appropriately design that return to sport to take the time to recover. It's like recovery from your ankle sprain. Yeah. You don't jump right back out there and do explosive sprinting. You need to recover appropriately. And if you manage it and you recover appropriately, then you return to sport and you manage the risks.
We're speaking with Melinda Rolstad of Think Head First. It's thinkheadfirst.com. Melinda, you've partnered with Alpine Apothecary and Karen Carestia to come up with this series of supplements and vitamins mm-hmm. to take that mm-hmm. will create better resilience and mm-hmm. brain health. And I think if you ask anyone, like, what's the one thing that you do that makes you have a healthy brain? And we'd all say fish oil. So that's just one of them. Yeah. What are some of the others?
So, you know, and this is what actually Karen Carestia and I have worked together for quite a few years on this. And the bottom line, when we started putting together my list of supplements for brain injury, I'm like, well, brain injury, these are good for health. I mean, these are good overall. This is what we all should be taking to basically boost our health. And so, yeah, omega-3s are obviously in the top of the list. We talk about probiotics being feeding the good bacteria in our gut, because there's more and more evidence on that gut-brain interaction and how an imbalanced gut can cause problems, brain fog, depression, anxiety, and that kind of thing in your brain. So probiotics for good bacteria, the good gut buddies. And the vitamin D, one thing that I have found here in this area, every person that I test for vitamin D tends to be low. And that's involved in the brain pathways as well as our immune system. So we need vitamin D. So, and the B vitamins are very important for energy. And so we basically encourage a good multivitamin that has Bs or a B complex. And magnesium is actually become one of my more go-tos for the brain injury, because everybody seems to be on really underlying stress or angst, and the magnesium helps in calming. It also helps with sleep. So we tend to use magnesium in all of our brain injured. The two additional ones that we have added for health, which I don't normally recommend for brain injury, but they also would be helpful in brain injury, are the curcumin, okay, and or the turmeric. And basically, that's a good anti-inflammatory and has been shown to be very beneficial for overall inflammation in our body. And then the coenzyme Q is involved in mitochondrial health. And those are, mitochondria are the energy powerhouses in all of our cells. And actually, coenzyme Q has been shown to be very beneficial in heart disease mm-hmm. and lowering the risk of hospital visits with people that have heart failure. So coenzyme Q is good in a multitude of ways, but for general health, that has become one of my go-tos as well, recommending.
This is a great list.
And so, this whole brochure is amazing.
Well, thanks.
And where can you pick it up? Can you get this at Alpine Apothecary?
You can get it at Alpine Apothecary, and you can also pick it up at our clinic.
Well, people need to do that, because this is an amazing little trifold
pamphlet that we basically created just to look at overall balance in health and life, and what are the simple things that we can all try to implement in our life.
And you can stop in your office
at 1820 Sidewinder Drive, Suite 100.
That's in the Medical Plaza there across from
the Marriott.
The Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
I used to always say Nacho Mamas.
Yeah,
Nacho
I know.
Mamas Nacho Mamas. Hasn't been there for a while.
Yes.
And you're there basically business hours, 9 to 5?
Yes, we're there. We see patients on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but we're answering the phones on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as well as Tuesday, obviously, every day of the week.
Stop by and get that pamphlet.
Yeah, so stop by and get our pamphlet.
Melinda Rolstad, thank you so much for joining us. Really nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
This is The Mountain Life. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to our guests, Chris Crawley and Melinda Rolstad. And thanks to our underwriters.
Valley Behavioral Health, Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation, Davidson Orthopedics, our newest underwriter, Zions Bank, Park City Mountain, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, Park Meadows Country Club, and San Francisco Design.
And you've been listening to KPCW Park City.